Page 434.
I'm sure glad this morning that I know who holds my hand, aren't you?
A lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things get my head in a whirlwind, and I don't have a clue. But boy, I tell you one thing, I sure know who's got it all figured out. It was written down a long time ago, and he's got this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Thought in Sunday school class this morning in Romans 12, and title of my message this morning is Three Impossibilities. And I thought, as we was talking in Sunday school, there's four. They said as possible be out with all men. That's an impossibility to be in good with everyone, isn't it? Not everybody's going to like us, is it? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read two verses, kind of get our mind going. Then we'll be several different places in the Bible. Impossibilities, some things that's impossible to do. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Found your place, if you would stand with me in honor of God's word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Turn right over probably one page, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your blessings. We thank you for all your mercy and grace. Lord, that you've got in mind for us this morning what you want us to have. And Father, I pray the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, God, that you'd use me and convey through me what you want us to realize today. Lord, we ask you to have your way. We pray, Lord, we exalt you, lift you on high. You are above all. And the Bible says that if you'd be lifted up, you'd draw all men to you. And Lord, that's our desire this morning, is to lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here in this, talking about our faith, and it said, "And hold fast our profession of faith without wavering." And wavering, without wavering, or wavering means to lean and not settled, and not firm. And when we waver in our faith, we're not settled and firm where we ought to be. James talks about wavering like in the ocean and being unstable like the ocean and that the wind drives. And if we're not careful, it's good that we as Christians get settled on what we believe. We get settled in our faith. We're firm in our faith. And are you settled? And he said, and hold fast your profession. What is, now, there's one thing about every one of us, a couple things this morning. First of all, and I hate to break it to you, but we're all going to die. Amen. And as sure as that is, we're all going to stand before God and give a be judged. That's two things, just as sure as what it is, as I'm standing here this morning. Now, I hate to break the bad news to you, but that's two things that's sure. And when we stand before God, I want to ask you this morning, what are you standing on? What is your profession? What is it that you're going to, when God looks upon you and you give an account, what is going to be your defense why you ought to get into heaven? Amen. The writer of Hebrews, I want to say Paul, but I don't know that, but the writer of Hebrews says to hold fast our profession of faith. And that's in Jesus Christ. And if we are looking and hoping in anything other than Jesus, we're going to come up short in that day. That's the only hope that we have. And I hope I never change that message. I hope if I live a long time or if I die next week, whenever, I hope that I'm still preaching Jesus and Him crucified and raised from the dead and ascended into heaven and coming back to get us. But I want to look at a few things this morning, some impossibilities, some things that is impossible. And the first one you find in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So it's impossible that we serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is a Syriac word, which was meant the god of riches or the riches of this world. We cannot serve money and serve God. It's just impossible. And God said it's not possible for it to happen. It's one of the impossibilities. And I'm afraid that we live in the world that's so geared toward money, so geared toward us striving and getting ahead, and so geared toward us going higher and enjoying money more and more and more, it's hard for us to serve God the way we ought to. We wind up serving money even when we don't want to. See, Christ in this passage here in Matthew 6 is a teaching for us to lay up treasures in heaven, to go ahead and send it over. It's a whole lot better that if we get settled and we send our money ahead, that we send and invest into the world on the other side than it is to invest in things on this side. Now, this is not popular preaching. Amen? Hey, some TV evangelists probably take issue with me. Hey, some folks that won't agree with me. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if your bank account's full, you're in God's will. Amen? I'll stand here and tell you if your bank account's full, God's been good to you. God's blessed you, and you ought to thank Him for it. And if He's blessed you, let me go a little further. He's expecting you to use it down here for His glory and His honor. He don't fill our bank accounts full so we can take a life of ease and shave off strokes off our golf score. The Bible says when much has been given, much is required. Amen? Then there's another little part of that verse we don't quote a whole lot. When more's been given, more's required. Woo! And when God's blessed America the way that He has, we're the richest nation, we're the richest people, He's blessed us, He expects us to use it for His glory and His honor. We cannot serve two masters. You're only going to serve that which you love. I'm going to get my handkerchief out. Who were our heart's desire is, that's who we'll serve. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I've heard that quote, and I've quoted it and thought of it myself. Where your heart is, there your treasure is. No, it's where your treasure is. What are you saying, preacher? What's that mean exactly? Can I tell you something about making you mad? Show me your checkbook and I'll show you your God. Amen? Show me your credit card receipts. I'll tell you who your God is. that quick. I am going to have to get my handkerchief out. Where our treasure is, where we spend our most money, where is the biggest thing, that's our God. And who are we serving this morning? You can't serve two. We can't serve this world and the God of this world and the riches of this world and serve God at the same time. Boy, we try, don't we? And what happens when we get too many irons in the fire? We don't do none of the jobs good. Amen? I mean, you can take one or two jobs and really do them good, but you put four or five, then... And when we try to juggle and do things, and what is it that Joshua said? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Do you ever, anything ever really register at you that? He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the God of the Amorites or the God of our fathers on the other side of the flood. But he left the true God out. He wasn't even in the equation. He said, I know you ain't going to serve God. You got to choose you one. And you know what God spoke to me one day? I was preaching this in a revival, and I was really, I had fasted, and I was on the scaffold working, and I was just thinking, and God spoke to me just as clear. I didn't hear audible voice, but you know what I mean. He spoke to me just as clear. He said, you know why America's broke and so many people's going bankrupt? And I just thought, whew. He said, they're trying to serve too many gods. A God will cost you money. And we're serving too many gods. We're spending our money and we're going bankrupt. And Joseph said, don't try to serve all these gods. Just pick you one. Or you can't afford to serve them all. But he said, that's me and my house. Well, glory. We're going to serve the Lord. There's where we ought to nail it down. And there's where we ought to be, that we lay up our treasures in heaven and we serve God with our money, with our time, and with our talents. Go ahead and send it up. Where's your treasure this morning? Is your treasure in the God of the Bible? Is He number one in our lives? Is the tithe the first and most important check that we write? Preacher, I know you're going to go to tithing. See, that's our blessing. God's going to make a way. He's going to provide for the church. I want to get in on the blessings of it, don't you? I want to be part of it. I want to be part of this work. I want to be involved in it. And go ahead and laying up treasures on the other side and using what God has given us and blessed us with. And I tell you that when we don't give our tithes and offerings to God, we are cheating ourselves. Amen? Is our affections on things above? The Bible said to set our affections on things above. Or is there something? Now, I'm not... there's nothing wrong with sports. And I like sports. But if we get... Now I better stay off that. But anyway... I believe that we have made sports gods in America. We have worshipped football players. We have worshipped basketball players, baseball players, race car drivers, golfers, musicians, country, rock, don't care what it is. We have put them on a pedestal and we have praised them and thrown all our money at them. We are serving the God of money. We are serving the God of this world when we do that. And there is so many people that is so caught up in these things that they forget all about God. Or he's an afterthought or a second thought. Well, as the ball game comes on such a time, and I got golf at such time, and I might get the morning service in between them. Amen? And that's the world that we live in today. I want to read Isaiah 55, verse 1 to you and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Now I know that kind of, you think, what's that verse really say? Isaiah saying, why are you spending your money on things that don't bring you happiness? You're looking for something to make you happy. You're spending your money on this, and it comes back void, and you've spent your money, and it didn't even feed you. Woo! Amen? And there's where we are in America today. We're spending. We want better this. We want better that. We want better for our youngins than we ever had, and there's not a thing in the world wrong with that. As long as we don't spoil them too bad. See, are you aware nowadays that some of our little children is addicted to tablets and having to go on medication? 3, 4, 5, 6 year old? Is that really good? We're spending our money on something to make our children happy. That's hurting them. I didn't mean to go there this morning. This revealed. But we are spinning our wheels and spending every dollar we got. And how many of us learning how to work? I tell you what, our workforce is going to be in bad shape in a few years. Amen. If you've not worked with some of the younger ones, you don't know what I'm talking about. One thing I thank God my daddy for, he taught me to work. And when it come time to get a job, well, I was just praising the Lord that I was going to get paid for it. The work wasn't no problem. Boy, I was going to get some money now. Boy, we've lost that in America. Our young people don't know how to work anymore. They're not taught. I don't know. God's just taking me everywhere. We have got folks, a mother and a dad that works hard, works 40, 50, 60 hours a week. They come in, they're wore out, and they have to go mow the yard, and the kids sitting in on the computers. You know what would have happened if my daddy come in from work after he had worked all day and I hadn't mowed the yard? I wouldn't be sitting playing nothing. Hard work's what made America what it is today. Boy, I know I've got on the rabbit trail, but I think it's the right one. And it's all right to work hard. Now, it might break you down, but it's good for you. I heard a man give testimony years ago that had been in the mafia. He says the only man he'd ever known that got out of the mafia alive. And he came to a school and there was a singing and he gave testimony. And that God had worked things out to where he was able to get out of the mafia alive.
And he said when he went to a church and got saved, he had a big condominium paid for. He had a big Mercedes or something paid for. Had these $10,000 suits. Had everything money could buy. And he went in and went back in that room and he started praying and praying and reading his Bible. And God spoke to him and said, "Everything that you have not worked for, give it away." But he said, "That was in there that you have not worked for." Amen. And he had to give it all away. And it was from like up New York somewhere. And you know the job God gave him. He said he started looking through the paper for a job. And he said that he ran across one, and it said it was an operation manager. And he said, "I've always been about operations, and I'm a good manager. An operations manager of a dairy." A guy from New York City. And he said that's where he went to work. But praise the Lord, isn't God good? And see, when these things in this world that comes up short and disappoints us and falls us short, God wants the glory. God wants the... And I carry him too, and I know you've heard me say it, but I think one of the things that God hates is a credit card. Of course, that's a check card, but and what the credit card does, you say, "God, I don't need you. I've got a credit card." Because when we do you, most of the time, now some people pays their balance off every month, but usually when do we use a credit card? When we can't afford it. Amen? People's got, it blows me away sometimes, people, the thousands and thousands of dollars people's got on credit cards. I mean, I'm pretty sure years ago I heard like the average rate was $50,000 on a credit card. And what we're saying is, "God, I got this." Instead of praying about it. Amen. And if we're not careful, when something comes, "Well, preacher, I don't have the money this week to pay, and this is an emergency." Well, let's pray about it before we put it on that credit card. Let's go to the one that owns everything. I mean, he already got it. And I'll tell you something else. I think I shared this sometime. Boy, you're going to have part two tonight. God showed me not too long ago, and they've asked me, and I think next Saturday at Limestone, they're having a youth retreat and want me to speak to the youth. And I've been thinking, and why, and God laid this on my heart. One of the reasons why we have so much divorce and why we have so much family troubles and why we have so many problems, and so many people unhappy with their jobs, so many people unhappy in their marriage, so many people unhappy in all these things. And God spoke to me just as plain, and he said, "Tell those young people that one of the biggest reasons, you turn all of your 4 years on right now. I want you to hear this. And you young folks, that we don't trust him and follow his will in every little decision that we make." See, if God's saying, "Go to ETSU," and you say, "I'd rather go to University of Tennessee." Now, I'm not promoting or nothing. That has nothing to do with it. But God's saying, "You need to go over here." And you say, "God, I can get a better education down here. They got a lot better stuff here. I won't go there." Well, Miss Wright or Mr. Wright might be at ETSU. The one you're going to spend the rest of your life with, or supposed to. And if you go to UT, you might find Miss Wrong that you like. And you wind up in a marriage that's not God's will. Or a job and you say, preacher, we want the most money. Well, this one might not pay as much, but it might have misrighted it. Or it might have a position down the road where it'd be exactly what you do and exactly what you're suited for and exactly, and you'd be happy. I'm not going to, but if I took a poll this morning and I'd say, how many people really loves their job and is just excited when they get up in the morning and say, boy, I can't wait to get to work. Well, I see no hands raised. There probably wouldn't be any. But what if God put us in that job? I'll be honest with you. This very few weeks and months, except one exception, I enjoyed my job through the years that God gave me. Because they say drywallers got a strong back and a weak mind. I fit right in the mold. But we're not, do we seek God's will? I mean, preacher, it's a minor thing. It's just a set of tires for the car. God's given me some for free. And he gave me one set for $125 that had 3/4 of the tread back on them. Well, it's just a battery. What if God can bless you? Amen. And when we seek His will and we go toward Him and He is our number one thing and we trust Him with everything that we have and we trust Him with where we work. We trust Him with the house we buy. We trust Him with the car we buy. We trust Him with the person we'll marry. We'll trust Him with the church we go to. We'll trust Him with the position in the church. We'll trust Him in every single thing. God will bless. And there's where we fall short. I mean, it's usually a no-brainer. This one pays $10,000 a year. That's my job. God can supply. And I'll finish with this. I don't know. God turned me upside down this morning how I was going to do, but children of Israel, 40 years in the wilderness, they wore the same shoes and wore the same clothes. The shoes didn't wear out, and they walked in sand. They had to wear a pair of shoes out quicker than anything. And the clothes didn't mold, didn't rot, and the shoes didn't wear out. Reckon he can't make you get 80,000 or 100,000 miles on a set of tires? Reckon you can't make a battery go 9 or 10 years. Amen. Reckon you can't make a gallon of gas stretch out and go an extra few miles. See, when we trust Him, and we say, God, this is yours, and I fully depend upon you. I want you to be the rule and the God of my life. And I don't care what everybody else is buying. See, that's one of the problems. If I don't cut this thing off, we'll be here all day. That's one of the other problems. We get to look and our neighbor's got a new car. They've added on to their house and it's bigger than mine now. Honey, I think we need to remodel. Amen? And we get to looking around. And C.H. Charlton used to say, and I'd listen to him, I've heard he probably still says it. He said, we need a thoroughbred mentality. A thoroughbred keeps his eyes ahead and looks for the finish mark and not the other horses in the race. We look around and we say, man, that... Whew. But if what we got serves the need, amen. I'll probably never buy another new vehicle. Unless Rhonda makes me. But I've got a practically new one that's a 1996. A good truck. Now, it's not, it don't smell like new at all. But it gets me there and gets the job done. And God gave me that truck. I mean, I paid for it, but got it real cheap. Hey, man, that smells expensive. Unless you buy those little jars. And I hope this morning, and this is a total different Sunday morning message than you used to, and I just wanted to be a little on the light side, but are we trusting God? Is He, are we serving Him? You can't serve this world and money and serve God. Now, am I an authority on this? No, but I know what the Bible says. And I mess up too. See, in Psalm 36, verse 8, the Bible says, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." See, He completely satisfies. I want to ask you, Jesus said, "I came that you may have a brand new house. I came that you may have the best job in town. I came that your kids may go to the best college in America. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly." That ain't got a thing in the world to do with money. That ain't got a thing in the world to do with moving up the ladder. That's got to do with the relationship with Jesus Christ, and we're trusting Him and depending upon Him. We're seeking Him in the Word of God. We're seeking out Him in prayer. And we're seeking His will in everything they do. See, in our lives, and this is the close of the first point, it's impossible to serve God and mammon. There must be a choice and a decision. What choice do we make and the decisions we make? Have you made a decision to follow the Lord in everything? I'm not saying I've made a decision to trust Him with my salvation. I'm saying, have we made a decision to trust Him with everything? Your salvation is the most precious thing in this world. Amen. That's the most important decision you'll ever make with your decision. And you trust Jesus with it. I ask you this morning, have you trusted Jesus with your salvation? So if you're going to entrust Him with the most important thing in the world, boy, these other things ought to be a no-brainer. If I'm going to trust Him with the big ones, I'm going to trust Him with the little ones. And we let Him have it all. I don't mean have you trusted Him and asked Him to come into your heart. I mean, does He call every shot? Now, that's a different question altogether. Is He your God? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today. And Lord, I'm so thankful, God, of the sweet Holy Spirit and the way You move and minister. And Lord, that You just deal with us about certain things. Father, I have no idea what You're doing this morning, but You know all. And God, I pray that we as a group here, this a pretty good sized congregation. And Lord, I pray this morning that You would look upon our hearts and our lives, and that You would turn us inside out. And Lord, in this time of invitation right now, that we'll see ourselves as You see us. We'll see all the knots and all the flaws. And God, You'd help and reveal to us this morning where we are in trusting You. Lord, that are we serving You only? Or are we trying to serve other masters? God, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts today, and that we'll be single-minded. Lord, You'll be our God and Lord of all. We'll trust You more than everything. We'll exalt You and lift You up and seek Your face in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come this morning?